Good morning. Good morning. So good to see everyone gathered together for a morning of worship. Exciting to be back home and to share how God has been at work in so many ways. Us coming back from our mission trip, I'll talk about that just in a moment. First, I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service and welcome all of our guests. If you are a guest and this is your first time, or if you've never filled out a guest card, we have those located right in front of you and would love to have a record of you being here. So if you could fill one of those out and put it in the offering plate, we would really appreciate that. A few things to report on so we're all on the same page. Last Friday's blood drive was a huge success. It had 24 pints of blood donated, so I know that was very much appreciated and a wonderful ministry to continue. And also, we had safe travels coming back from our mission trip to Kentucky. And let me tell you, your prayers were answered in so many ways, not just for safe travels, but for the way that God worked through us and changed us and molded us. It was fantastic to see. I couldn't praise the youth and the youth leaders anymore about how we worked well together and how we worked well for God's kingdom. From the get-go, when we first got there, we started realizing that some of our plans were going to change. And that was okay because Pastor Grant, such a wonderful man of God, understands that and the way he is involved in the ministries he is involved with and teaches us how to not be flexible. Because if you're flexible, you'll break. He said you have to be fluid. And he knew that, and from the get-go, we started learning what it meant to be fluid. And our plans began to change, but they began to change in a wonderful way because our youth gravitated instantly toward the way God was calling them to work and minister to the children and the people of the community of Whitley City. So it is exciting to see how that has taken place, and we are thrilled to share everything next week at 6 o'clock at night. We will have a time of sharing of everything that went on during the week, so I hope you can make it out. We would love to have all the youth and youth leaders be here to share how God was at work, so I hope you can make it. All right, I talked about the mission report that will be next Sunday at 6 o'clock, and now I would like to recognize Brent Smith from House and Grounds at this time. Any other announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship service? Seeing none, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, we again come before you knowing that we are in your presence. We are so excited that you have called us together again to worship you together, corporately. Lord, we know when we do that, we are acknowledging that you are Lord of our life. And God, you are going to show us how to continue to be molded in your Son's image. So we are prepared for the week that is ahead, ready to share the gospel through word and through action. And Lord, we pray that this time, here and now, when we are gathered to worship you, that nothing distracts us from that. We pray that in your Son's name. Amen. Now let's spend just a few moments preparing our hearts for worship.
26. Yeah, folks over here know, and folks right down here in front know, that was the day that the Rigsby's family, Matt and Lauren's extended family, was changed forever. For that was the day that Miss Lillian Kate Rigsby made her appearance into this world. And so today, Matt and Lauren want to bring Lillian to this altar to dedicate the gift she is to them back to the Lord who gave her to them. Matt and Lauren, would you please bring Lillian to the altar? Isn't she sharp? The psalmist says, it was you who took me from the womb, you who kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. What an awesome thing it is, this process we call birth. Yet even more amazing is what happens as a child grows. In an all too brief span of time, an infant so vulnerable and dependent becomes a child, rapidly learning how to crawl and then to walk, moving from cries, we might hear some of them now, to words, to sentences, growing in body, mind, and spirit toward adulthood. And parents have a tremendous opportunity to witness it all, and the great responsibility to guide the process. However, the most marvelous aspect is that the very hand of God is involved in everything. Scripture tells us that our Creator knows each child long before they enter the world. Even before she was a dream in the parents' hearts, she was in the mind of God. Our faith informs us that our children belong to God. They're entrusted into our hands, but for a season. Parenting at its best is a calling from God through those years to love and protect, to challenge and to gradually release these precious children. Parenting requires each resource we have and then some. From walking the halls at 2 a.m., which y'all have already done, with a crying infant, to waiting up past midnight for a tardy teenager, some of y'all have done that, Parenting is not for the weak-hearted. The good news is that parenting doesn't fill the shoes alone. Jesus himself spoke of mother-like love to gather the children as a hen gathers the brood. He also told us of God's patience is like a father waiting for the prodigal son. The Lord is there all along the way of a child's growth as Miss Lillian grows, waiting to be all that needs to be done. He is our resource. When we ask, we will find. Today, Matt and Lauren, you brought precious little Lillian before this congregation to consecrate her to the Lord and to dedicate yourselves to the task of parenting. It's time now for you to make some promises here at the altar before this congregation. Matt and Lauren, will you promise to support and love Lillian by providing the opportunity for her to grow up in the family of faith with the hope that she will someday confess Christ as her own teacher, Lord, and Savior? If so, would you say, we will? Will you, to the best of your ability and with God's help, provide a loving family environment in which Lillian can grow in love, loyalty, and obedience to God? If so, please say, we will. Will you encourage Lillian to grow in her faith so that she might later, when she's older, accept Christ as her Lord and Savior and be received into the fellowship of the church by baptism, fully partaking in the work and the worship of the church? If so, would you please say, we will. Family is more than these three. There are grandmoms and granddads. There are uncles and aunts. There is that extended family. Blessed is the child who is faithful, who has faithful, loving, extended family, grandparents. Not only do you who stand with this young family today thoroughly enjoy helping to nurture this precious child, but in your own unique way, you also will support Matt and Lauren as they raise Lillian in this wonder-filled time. Also, it is important that you support, encourage, and love Lillian and her parents through these awesome years to the best of your ability. To the extended family that is here, I would invite you to stand with this family right now. If you'll make that promise to encourage and support this family with your love and your prayers, would you please answer, we will. And now to the congregation at Flat Springs Baptist Church. We need to recognize the awesome stewardship that has been entrusted to us, Miss Lillian Kate Rigsby, and this young family to be their spiritual family, to help them raise this special gift as God would intend. To Flat Springs Baptist Church, if you promise today that we will, as a congregation, commit to love and to pray and to teach and support this newly dedicated life to the best of our ability, would you please answer, we will. And now I'd invite the congregation to stand with us as we stand together, all standing with this precious life and this precious family. Part of our ministry is the Deacon Family Ministry, and Bobby Hurley is their deacon, but he is away today. So I would invite Mel Shaver, if he would, to come and present a gift from the Deacon Family Ministry, from the church, to this family. Now let us pray again. God, we acknowledge what a fantastic gift Lillian Kate Rigsby is. That she is one of your best efforts as each life here created in your own image. And this family now stands here with this church family saying that we recognize she is a gift, and now we give her back to you, O God, in this moment, recognizing that when we give her to you, we have done the very best we can do. But Lord, this is just a service and a reminder. It will be a lifetime of giving. I pray for Matt and Lauren as they move forward as mom and dad to raise this precious life, to be the stewards that you have entrusted them, for all of this family as they stand with them, and then for this church family as we recognize what an awesome responsibility it is to be watched, to be used as a model, that she will learn what it's like to be a Christian. Help us, Lord, to always keep our eyes on you, that we may effectively point her eyes to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You can take her where she needs.
Page 122, tell me the story of Jesus. We have some words in italics. You will repeat those after each verse. And after the third verse, the children can come down and come up to the front for the children's sermon. Let's all stand. 122.
Good morning. It's always so good to see you come down here. I always love seeing you with your worship bags and excited to be here to worship God together. And I love coming down here talking to you, just me and you, to see how God's going to talk to us this morning. And I've noticed that, you know, a lot of us sometimes are on vacation. It seems like today a lot of families are on vacation. It's summertime, right? And I was actually thinking earlier that it's over halfway through the summer, which means school's almost here for some of us. But I won't talk too much about that. I know that wouldn't be too nice. So I'll talk about vacation this morning. And I wanted to ask you all, have any of you been on vacation this summer already? Or do you plan on going on vacation? Yeah, have you been to the beach or mountains or going to go to the beach? All right, yeah. Beach yesterday, all right. All right, you're going to go to the beach? Already went to the beach? Well, I love hearing about, that's right, I love hearing about how sometimes we get to go on vacations together as families, right? And, you know, usually after parents have worked really hard, they'll spend some time away on vacation to rest and re-energize. And Lauren and I have worked really hard too, and we want to spend a little time on vacation this summer. So maybe you can help me choose where we're going to go. A lot of you went to the beach, so raise your hand if you think me and Lauren should go to the beach. Think we should go to the beach? Yeah? What if you think Lauren and I should go to the mountains? See the mountains. Yeah? Now, what about going to see an Atlanta Braves baseball game? Yeah? That's my choice. We'll see how far that goes, though. But this morning, we're going to talk about vacation because Jesus and his disciples worked very hard. And they were always working very hard. And Jesus also took time to make sure he taught his disciples how to rest as well. And we're going to learn about that in the Bible in Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 30. So listen to what we hear here. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. So Jesus knew how hard the disciples were working, and he also knew that they needed time to rest. They were so busy, they hardly had time to even eat. But something really in particular happened here. I want us to make sure we know that when the disciples spent time to rest, a little vacation, Jesus was with them. So they didn't leave Jesus when they went to go rest. So we need to remember that whether we're working really hard or whether we're on vacation resting, Jesus is always there to guide us and give us the energy and strength to always live for him. All right? Let's pray about that this morning. God, thank you so much for always being with us. And we know that when we pray to you, we can work very hard. And Lord, there's times we also need to rest from working very hard. But God, we also want to remember that when we are resting, that it's you with us that's teaching us how to rest and relax to be ready to work again for you. We pray that in your son's name. Amen. All right, I'll see y'all next week, okay?
And as they are returning to their seats or to children's church, we want to invite you to open your bulletin. You'll see our prayer concerns as you open that bulletin. A couple of names I'd like to mention. In fact, I talked with Miss Judith Nance this morning, and her sister Sarah Shank is very close. In fact, thought it might even occur this morning that she might pass, but Judith is up there with her other sister, and we just want to keep that family in our prayers in a very special way. And then also this morning, we received word, and I was able to run over to the hospital for a few moments. Joe Schaub has had a, we'll just call it a neurological event, but he ended up losing eyesight in one eye and some numbness on one side of his face. And one CAT scan had come back while I was there that was negative, but he is still in the emergency room, and we want to keep him in our prayers in a very, very special way. You'll see this list of prayer concerns. We are grateful that our youth are back. I know that Sammy Keck had a close encounter with a chair, a table, that didn't go very well, but ended up hurting his toe pretty severely. We want to pray for him as that recuperates. I'm excited to hear what God was up to and what God will continue to be up to in the future with the ministry at Kentucky. And we're grateful to have the youth team back and David and Maureen back from that trip as well. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, what a wonderful time it is to focus our energies on worshiping you. You have something very special to say to us today. And you may have already said it, and even now it's on our heart and mind, and the Holy Spirit is just letting us really think about it and dwell on it. And you're going to give more clarity as worship continues about what we need to do about it. And maybe, Lord, the next hymn we're going to sing, there's going to be a phrase in that hymn that's just going to challenge us, and as we worship you today in spirit and truth, your voice is going to be so clear that that's where we need to intersect with you. Or maybe, God, in the message today, there'll be some clarity of our own understanding of our walk with you. And we will make those choices and we will make those decisions that will lead us to be the best servant of you we can possibly be. Lord, it is amazing. It is amazing when we pause to praise you. For you inhabit the praise of your people. And when we worship you, O God, you say things that change everything. And we pray, O God, that you might change everything in our life. Make us after your will. We lift these names that we have mentioned, these that have special needs, physical needs, these that are struggling with life and death. And we ask, O God, that you might bless as you know there's need. Guide us now, Lord, as we continue to move forward in our worship, that we might indeed be all that you would have us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One name I meant to mention, and I saw him yesterday, but Norm Keith is recuperating from surgery, outpatient surgery he had on Friday. Please keep Norm in your prayers as well. Thank you.
Page 184, first, second, and last verses. Jesus is all the world to me. Let's all stand.
Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come here today to worship. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Please be with all those that are listed on the prayer list. And we thank you for bringing the youth home safely from their trip. Please use these offerings to further your kingdom, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
And the people said, amen. We sure do need him now. Thank you, Eternity. Appreciate that. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, Luke chapter 10. We're going to read this morning a passage of Scripture of two very special ladies, Martha and Mary. You'll remember Mary, at another occasion, will anoint Jesus with oil. She was a worshiper. Are you a worshiper? And at a very critical time when Lazarus will die, Martha, kind of the star of our message today, one who teaches the greatest lessons today, Martha will make one of the greatest confessions. In fact, it's the same confession that Peter made. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. She says to Jesus, although my brother's died, I know who you are. Two great women in the Bible. We find an interesting moment. You know, I've noticed something. We don't do company like we used to, do we? You remember company? Some of you don't even remember company. Somebody coming to your house to spend the afternoon? What is up with that? That used to be the way it was. And in ancient times, to bring someone into your house was a real big deal. A real big deal. It took an awful lot of preparation because most of the houses were one room. And daily life went on in the house all the time. And to offer a party took extra effort. It is that extra effort that I want us to talk about for a moment. And the name of my sermon is Doing Bad by Doing Good. Isn't that a weird title? I thought that was a weird title. I thought, that'll work. Let's do that one. But it is, isn't it? I'll have to give some disclaimers as the message goes. Because doing good is what we're called to do. But I think what Jesus will teach us is that why we do is more important than what we do. Our text is Luke chapter 10. We're going to begin to read in verse 38, and we're going to read the remainder of the chapter through verse 42. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word? Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to do good, but to not become distracted or disappointed in the process. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to take your hymn book and open to page 134. What a tremendous closing hymn. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. 134. If you'd mark that, I would appreciate that. That will be our hymn of decision. You know, having a party at your house can be stressful. I love the story about the little guy who mom had been teaching him some prayers, and they would always start off their prayer, Dear Lord, and she would teach him some bedtime prayers and was teaching him kind of to pray from his own world rather than just the now lay me down to sleep prayer. Well, this day, the air conditioner had broken and there was going to be a great guest party coming to her house. I mean, it was a big deal. It was due to her husband's work, but it was hot. It was hot outside. It was hot in the kitchen. And she was working. Just she and her young son were there. Dad was at work. And all through the day, as she got hotter and as it became more stressful, she became more stressed out. But finally, she pulled it off. Just like literally as they were coming in the door, she was coming from the bedroom having put on her makeup. The air conditioner had been fixed at the last moment, and it was good. And now she was enjoying the fact that all was ready, and it was good. And so she thought to impress everyone that she would ask her little son to offer a prayer. She'd been teaching him to pray. He knew prayer started, Dear Lord. And so she said, Honey, you pray. And he said, I don't know what to pray, Mommy. He said, Well, just pray one of the prayers you've heard Mommy pray. Don't get ahead of me. So he thought back to the day. He knew prayers began with Dear Lord. And so his prayer was, Dear Lord, why do all these people have to come the day the air conditioner is broke? They won't enjoy anything anyway. Well, I thought of that story when I thought of Miss Lillian here with us. She'll be learning, won't she? She'll learn all our prayers. Maybe some we wish she wouldn't. Doing bad by doing good. Martha has invited Christ to the house. Let me ask us a question. Are you going to invite Christ to your house when you leave today? Wow. Are you going to invite Christ to your house? Oh, your house is like Martha, like my house. It's hectic, isn't it? There are agendas that are ready to be done. There are things that need to be accomplished. Could we have a special guest like Jesus? Martha was trying to get ready for the Lord. She was getting ready for Jesus to come. And Jesus, everywhere he went, he paused and he taught. He was a teacher. He was the Son of God, but he was a rabbi in every sense of that. And to invite a rabbi to your house was not only to receive his blessing, but also his teaching. And in that moment, I imagine Martha went home and said, Mary, and Lazarus must have been somewhere. Lazarus, it would have been expected for Lazarus. In fact, we don't really understand that Mary sitting at Jesus' feet when we talk about glass ceilings for women to break, that was a tremendous one because usually the women didn't sit at the feet of a teacher. That was men's things. So that Mary was invited and allowed to sit. In fact, ultimately complimented for doing so. Jesus had challenged the tradition of his day. But Martha must have gone and said, "Mary, Jesus is coming to the house today." And Mary must have said, "Oh, that's wonderful. I can't wait to hear him." And Martha must have probably thought, have you ever thought somebody in your household would do something, but you didn't ever tell them to do it? You just kind of thought they'd know. And somehow they didn't know. I mean, when you see those shoes sitting out in the middle of the floor, you wouldn't thought you had to tell somebody to pick them up, would you? But I bet sometimes we do. She thought Mary would say, "Oh, well, we need to get ready. We need to get busy. There's a lot to do if the Lord's coming." And she didn't hear when Mary said, "Oh, I can't wait to hear him teach." Martha didn't. That didn't connect. Doing good can be bad when we are distracted. We're distracted. I have to struggle with that. Sometimes if you say something to me and my mind gets... My wife says there's a look in my eyes. I don't know what it is because I can't see my eyes. But she says, "Hey, you can keep talking, but I've gone somewhere else." You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, you know, it's like something comes on. I said, "I believe you were just talking right then, but I didn't hear what you..." I was distracted. You ever become distracted? You ever get distracted? We know it's not safe to drive a car and be distracted, whether that be texting or playing with the radio or talking on a cell phone or even talking to someone or even just stressed out. A distracted driver is not safe. Neither is a distracted believer. If we become distracted, if we become distracted from what we are really about, and we're in trouble. It says in verse 40 that Martha was distracted with much serving. Her doing good had become a distraction. Isn't that amazing? You ever think sometimes in our life we may be so busy doing good, we're doing bad? I will always remember years ago when I was going to King's Dominion. That was back when they had the safari train. It was hot and you could get in that safari car and it was air conditioned. You could ride through. Oh, that was nice. But I remember standing in line one morning, all the anticipation of riding the Rebel Yell. That was on my mind. I loved the Rebel Yell. That was the roller coaster for me. And I was in that line waiting and all of a sudden I heard a commotion behind me and all of a sudden I heard tears and I heard crying. And it was a little 6-year-old boy and he was rebelling. He didn't want to go. I think he really didn't want to stand in line. And I remember his mama grabbing him and what my mama would say, jerking a knot in him. And she said, "You're going to go to this park and you're going to have a good time if I have to beat you." And I thought, well, that might not work out like you're thinking. That might not just be a good plan. Sometimes we can get distracted from doing good and all of a sudden we can become something less than what the good was all about. Has good, the good we're doing, has it caused us to lose focus? You know what Jesus wants today? He doesn't want to know all the things we've done. He wants us to love him with our whole heart. That's what he wants. Yeah, you may say, "I did this for you today, Lord." The Lord would be okay whether you did it or not. But you know what he wants today? You know what his ear is now tuned? And he is listening. He is leaning over heaven's rail. And he is staring into Flat Springs Baptist Church. In fact, he is staring into your eyes and my eyes. He's looking at our heart. You know what he's asking? What are we doing when we leave here? Am I going with you? Am I going home? "Oh, Lord, I'd love for you to come home today, but I've got so much to do." Don't become distracted. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Keep the focus where it needs to be. Secondly, doing good can be bad when it causes us to disprove others. Do you realize in this little short passage of Scripture how angry Martha is at Mary? That's not hidden at all, is it? It's pretty obvious. She is unhappy with her sister. And it makes sense to me. If I were Martha, I would have asked Jesus to tell her. I would have told her myself. Get up. Don't you see I need some help? Get in here. What are you doing? That's what I would have said. Doing good can be bad when we begin to disapprove of other people. It's easy to do. Our circumstances can often change our whole focus, can't they? I love the story about the man that was flying the hot air balloon when he realized he was lost. He reduced his altitude. He spotted a lady walking. He descended over her as much as he could. And he said, "Excuse me, can you help me? I promised a friend that I would meet them an hour ago, but I don't know where I am." The woman replied, "You're in a hot air balloon, hovering about 30 feet over the ground. You're between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude and 59 to 60 degrees west longitude." With a disgusting tone in his voice, he said, "You must be an engineer." "I am," replied the woman. "How'd you know?" "Well," he answered, "everything you just told me technically is correct. But I have no idea what to make of that information. And the fact is, I'm still lost. Frankly, you have not been much help. If anything, you've delayed my trip." The woman below responded to him, "Well, you must be in management." "I am," replied the balloonist, "but how did you know?" "Well," said the woman, "you don't know where you are or where you're going. You have risen to where you are in due to a large quantity of hot air. You've made a promise you have no idea of how to keep, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problems. The fact is, you're exactly in the same position when we started this conversation, but now it's my fault." Isn't that amazing? We can become disapproving of people we don't even know. Have you ever been disapproving of someone, let's say, on the highway when you were driving? That would have been a good chance for all of you to have said amen, and not one amen did I hear. It's easy, isn't it? It's easy to become angry. It's easy to become disappointed. And yet you and I are called, who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, to constantly find ourselves sitting at His feet. Thirdly, doing good can be bad when we become depressed by doing it. Jesus said to Martha, "You're anxious. You're distracted, you're anxious, and you're troubled." Listen to what He said, "over many things." Over many things. I ask us, was Jesus going home with us today? Let me ask another question that might help us answer that question. What did you bring to the worship center today? Oh, we brought life, didn't we? We bought the rat race. Someone has said only rats win rat races. There's probably some truth there. But isn't it easy to get involved? Isn't it easy to become anxious? Isn't it easy to become distracted? Isn't it easy to become disapproving? And isn't it easy? Because when we become distracted and disapproving of others, you know the next step is going to be depressed. It's going to make us unhappy. We're going to be unhappy with others. We're going to ultimately be unhappy with ourselves. Do we sometimes miss God's blessing because we're doing good and then we're judging others, and based on what they're doing, we're disappointed? Someone has said, I'm not sure the English is too good, "The hurrier I go, the behinder I get." I love the story that Steve Covey tells in an old book he wrote years ago, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. There's one story, oh, there's many stories I love in that book, but there's one story he tells about the difference between a leader and manager. He says, you know, managers, and he uses the illustration of going through a jungle, cutting a trail by hand with machetes. He says, you know, the manager wants to make sure that the machetes are sharp, that the stones are there to sharpen, that water's there, that food's there, that the tents are going to be set up. Busy. Kind of like Martha. Busy. Doing good. He said, but a leader's always looking to see where we're going. Where are we going today? And I love that story. And I guess I see myself in it. He says that a leader, you know, would climb up the tree and look, and maybe would holler down to the manager, stop, you're going in the wrong direction. But the manager might holler up, shut up, I'm making progress, you know. Are we making progress going the wrong way? Are we making progress? Are we achieving? Are folks saying, boy, you're doing good. You are busy. Martha was busy. Jesus was in the house teaching. And she was washing dishes. Jesus was in the house telling about the important things, and she was preoccupied with the water boiling. What are we preoccupied with? Today God says, I want to make a difference. Are the good things we're doing causing us to feel guilty and unhappy? Are we looking around at our circumstances and we realize we're headed in the wrong direction? Our life's not going like we wish it were. It's not taking the path that we feel is the best path. Then God says, there's only one thing that's necessary. There's only one thing that's necessary. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And let the other things be added unto you. I don't know why I always get those other things first. Do you? I don't know why. Finally this morning, doing good can be bad when we start making demands on God. I love that verse. Martha comes in verse 40 and she says, "Don't, Lord, you see what's happening? Mary's... she's sitting there listening to you, and I'm doing all the work." And then she, and I think there might have been a little sharp tone here. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. You know, you could say, tell her to help me. Isn't that sweet? Even if it said, please tell. Or it could be, Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell her. Doggone it, tell her. That's what I think it felt like. I wonder what demands we're making on God. I wonder what we're telling God today. I love Jesus' gentle rebuke. Have you ever thought what Jesus could have said? When she said, tell her. He could, who do you think you're talking to? That's probably what I would have said. That would have been me. Martha. I can just hear Jesus as though he was speaking to a small child. Maybe even, dear Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing's necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. You know, Martha got it. I'm going to defend Martha. Martha got it. You know how I know she got it? Because in John 11, when Lazarus has died and Jesus comes 4 days later, they sent word, get here, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus comes 4 days later. She says, oh, if you'd been here, Jesus, my brother wouldn't have died. But, she says, but. I love that but. She got it. That but tells me she got it. She says, but I know who you are now. You're the Son of the living God. And you could say, come out. She got it. you realize today what God could say to us? Do we realize that God could say, there's some things that are death in your life, and you can come out. You can come out. You don't have to stay there. She got it. Today. Oh, I don't want anybody to go out and say, I think the preacher said I shouldn't clean the house anymore. That's not where I'm going with this. But what I am going, where I am trying to go is, today maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, where's our focus? Because Jesus is in the house every day. He's there. You ever thought you hung up your cell phone and it was still on, or you did a pocket dial? And maybe somebody was listening and you said, oh, I'm sorry they were listening to all of that. He's there. When we go home, he's there. In the car on the way home, he's there. One thing's necessary. The part Mary got can't be taken away. Love the Lord your God. That's what he wants. And then let your service be added unto that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you speak to us today? We have dedicated a precious life to you. And now it's time for us to remember our own dedication to you, O God. Our own commitment. Our own walk. We're so grateful to have our youth back, as you have spoken to them in so many ways this past week. And now they must continue to make decisions about what that looks like for the rest of their life. Help us to not become distracted, to disapprove of others, to become so disappointed that we become depressed or that we demand of you instead of saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Help us to hear what you're saying to us right now, about our trip home. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 134. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow this morning. If God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, I would invite you to do so as we stand together and sing. Indeed, it has been a good day to be in the house of the Lord, and now it's a good day for the Lord to be in our house. As we leave this place, may we do so in his peace and in his power and in his abiding presence, that we might be his people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for that tremendous hymn we just sang and for the truth that your Son, our Savior, paid it all. We love Him. We love You, O God, with all our heart. And we thank You for Your blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.